This is the Automotive Repair Podcast Network.
Welcome to another episode of Business by the Numbers. I'm your host, Hunt Demarest, CPA with Parmelis & Associates. A couple of weeks ago, we had our 200th episode, and I talked about how to double your sales, double your profit, double your gross profit. And a lot of those are probably multi-year goals, but no matter what, you should still have a goal for this year. If you don't, maybe go back and listen to that episode before listening to this one, or go back and listen to it after you listen to this one. Either way, how to make sure that you set yourself the right goal and how to make sure it's not leading you towards disaster is exactly what we're going to talk about this week. Before we get into that, I just want to stop and say thank you to you and the rest of the dedicated listeners. Remember, if you have a question that you want to hear answered on here, or just have a question for me, shoot me an email at podcast@parmelis.com. Don't forget my new book, Beyond the Bays, a financial playbook for auto repair shop owners, which was inspired by many of your questions on here, is now available on Amazon for paperback and Kindle for purchase. Want to talk to me about accounting and tax services Parmelis offers your repair shop? Shoot us a text at 301-307-5413. And last but not least, we cannot forget our dedicated sponsors, Promotive and Wicked File. If you need to recruit top talent for your top shop, give Promotive a call. And you need to get your back office and parts reconciliation straight, give Wicked File a call and let them help out just like they have helped out hundreds, if not thousands, of other shops. It's time to hire a superstar for your business. What a grind you have in front of you. Great news. You don't have to go at it alone. Introducing Promotive, a full-service staffing solution for your shop. Let them do the heavy lifting and enlist your hiring partner online at gopromotive.com. Turn chaos into clarity with Wicked File, the AI for auto repair shops. Transform invoices into insights, protect cash flows, and stop losing parts, cores, or credits to maximize your bottom line. Get Wicked File. Like we talked about in the other episode on here, you're going to kind of go into some mistakes on how you're setting these goals and then go into, you know, kind of some deeper planning on this. Like you came back, you have a goal. Do you have enough people? Do you have enough space and everything else in between? Also, how that's interrelated with your pricing. You have enough people if you price this at $400 an hour for your labor, but do you have enough people if you needed to hit that same sales target after having, you know, $150 an hour labor rate? All of this stuff is variable. There's a lot of different things that go into this. Like I said, this kind of goes along with that episode where we kind of go into setting these goals and stuff like that. We're going to talk about a little bit in this episode as well. But the first mistake that a lot of you guys are setting is setting a sales goal. Like we talk about this time and time again, but why are you setting a sales target if that is truly all that it is? If you're setting a sales target, then why do we care? It's great that you hit $3 million, but if that $3 million made you the same amount of money that you did this year, $2 million, then why did you want to hit it? Sales are just sales if they don't have profit behind them. So ultimately, as you might imagine, and we talked about in previous episodes, we are going to be setting a profit goal, but profit is an output, not an input. So we are going to have to work back into our input figures. Don't get what I said? We are still going to set a sales target, but it's going to be calculated based on what we want to make, not just an arbitrary sales target. We kind of came full circle there. I told you guys you're idiots if you're setting a sales target, but then I also said we need a sales target. At the end of the day, a sales target is going to be a great target for your counter, a great target for your team. But if you're just setting your sales target as a goal from your current sales target, then you're missing the point of this. What we're trying to do here is we're trying to set a profit goal. But then once we have our goal, we can back into a sales figure as we're going to explain a little bit later. Remember though, who cares what you sell? We care about what we keep. Sales are what we sell. Profit is what we keep. I'm going to go down through this example. I'm going to use some real numbers on there. I want you to try this for yourself. And I'm going to try to kind of put some little caveats in there where, you know, it's going to be different for you. But I think a lot of times when I go down through real life examples of real conversations I've had with shop owners on this, that it probably gives you more actionable tips that you can actually use in your business. I want you guys to understand this, but if you guys don't have the tools to actually go and implement this stuff, then I am just talking to myself in a closet. Even though that is exactly what I'm doing, it makes me feel better to know that you are going to use this, you're going to make changes, maybe end up redoing your goal. And hopefully what you're going to realize is that you have a really good goal, and this allows you to break down and make sure that you guys have the tools the people, the lifts, the square footage to actually achieve those. The big question comes down to how much do you want to make? Like we talked about time and time again, we need to set a sales target, but in order to set a sales target, we need to set our ultimate target, which is profit. And the general idea behind here is you know what your profit is because you could make whatever you want to make. This is your business. You could build a business that makes $1 million in profit. Might look a lot different than your business right now, but you can do it. If you have an ultimate goal on your profit, you have that number. You know what your overhead is, so now you have those two numbers. If you know what your desired profit is and your desired overhead is, then you now have a gross profit target. Because gross profit comes after our sales, after we pay our direct cost, and that's what pays our overhead, and anything left is profit. So if gross profit equals overhead plus desired profit, you hit your target right on the nail. Again, a lot of people don't talk in gross profit figures, and so people would back in based on what your gross profit percentage is to what your desired sales need to be. But it's all a house of cards because you're ultimately saying these are the sales that I need to be at this gross profit percentage at this overhead. If you don't hit this target, maybe your GP percentage is different, maybe your overhead went up, a number of different issues on this. But this is how you back into this. You end up starting with that bottom number. How much do you want to make? And then you end up bringing in your sales figure. But the first thing, and just like what we talked about a couple of weeks ago in episode 200, is when. And you might be saying to yourself, well, Hunt, what do you mean by that when? I want to make this yesterday. Let's say that you're at $50,000 in profit right now. I probably am not going to shoot for $500,000 this year. Because ultimately, when you back into this, if you find out that you're going to need more than 30% sales growth, it's really, really hard to do. Do I have shops that have 30, 50, 70, 100% growth in 1 year? Absolutely. Yes. Is it common? No, not at all. If I go and I look at all of my clients and I say, which one of my clients have had consistent growth more than 20% for 2 years, right? I'm going to ignore kind of 21 and 22, some of those COVID years. It's probably single digits and it's probably lower single digits. Of all my clients that I work with, over 600 clients all across the United States, I have maybe one or two of them that are consistently growing this fast year after year. Everyone else is not. Also, when you talk to a lot of these people that have had 30, 50, 60, 80% growth years, a lot of people will probably tell you, hey, sales went up, but profit did not. Or maybe profit did, but it probably wasn't the easiest business to run, and you were probably solving problems and putting out fires. Can you get from zero to 1,000? Yeah. Do you think that that's going to be a bigger strain on you mentally, physically, your team, than going on a gradual scale? Yes, absolutely. But the other day, guys, this is your business. You're done messing around with this. You've been doing this for 20 years and you want to go from $50,000 to $500,000. Right? It's the whole reason why I did that 200 episode. Open up your minds. All of this is possible. But again, this might be even more important to do the rest of this episode because if you want to grow this much, there's probably going to be systems, people, processes, and physical space that might be your limiting factor. Either way on this, whether you're going for the goal, whether you set something in between, where do we go from this now? So ultimately, what you have is a much more long-term plan that you're going to break down into a short-term plan. At the end of the day, what we are going to be leaving here with, and the only thing they're going to be talking about this, is what we are doing this year. Great. I've went down, I've sat, I'm doing 50 grand this year. I want to be doing $500,000. It's a three-year plan. I'm going to do 200K this year, 350 next year. And then in my three-year goal, I will hit that $500,000 mark. Do I work into what it looks like to hit 350 right now? No. Do I work what it looks like to hit 500 right now? No. Because I know 350 and 500 don't come until I hit 200. Narrow your focus, narrow your goal, solve this year first. Like I talked about in, you know, probably about 5 minutes ago, there are so many variables that come into play. You could hit your sales target, you could hit your gross profit target and not hit your profit target. You could hit your GP target. You could hit your overhead target and not hit your profit target because the sales weren't there. There is going to be a multitude of factors that have to come together to hit your goal for this year. Focus on that. Laser focus on 26. 27 happens after 26, guys. All right. Just remember that. So there's a number of different ways to go into this. You know, if you're looking at, you're at 50,000, you need to get to 200 grand. You know, really what I'd be looking at is my overhead too high? How's my pricing? Do I need to get this from sheer brute force? Do I need more customers, more cars? Or maybe you have enough customers and enough cars and you're giving away your labor and parts and just need to update on pricing. There's a number of different ways to go into this, but I'm going to kind of step back and do this from the 1,000-foot view of something that really anyone can do. Even if you have no idea about your financials, this little exercise is going to get your brain moving the right path. Even if you say, "Hun, I kind of know where I stand and I'm going to have a different way," this is just going to give you the foundational ideas. If I'm looking at a shop, I don't have any financials, or I'm, you know, talking to a shop owner in class, in passing, this is kind of how I do it because most people don't know their numbers. This will get you pretty close. The goal for a shop is a 20% net income. If I'm doing a projection on how I get to $200,000 in net income, what I do is I would take the $200,000 divided by 0.2. Algebra 101, if we know that 20% of our sales is going to be to $200,000, and now we know that $200,000 is the ultimate number, and we know that should be 20% of an unknown, we know that our sales target is $1 million. We expect a prototypical shop is going to have $1 million in sales, $500,000 in gross profit, and $300,000 in overhead, which leads us with the ultimate 20% net income that we're looking for.
Shop owners, are you struggling to find and retain top-tier talent for your automotive shop? Introducing Promotive, on the web at gopromotive.com. With over 40 years of combined industry recruiting experience, we're the ultimate staffing solution. We go beyond traditional agencies. Our team provides dedicated recruiters and account managers advising on processes, compensation, and benefits. We focus on placing technicians and service advisors with shops that offer the best culture, training, and long-term growth opportunities. Trust our experience to match the right talent to your shop. We carefully select shops that value employee excellence and provide an environment for success. Our dedicated team leads the entire process, leveraging our industry knowledge and expertise. Partner with Promotive and experience their advantage to help you build a high-performing team that drives your shop's growth. Visit GoPromotive.com today and let us help find and keep the best talent in the industry.
Every month, auto repair shops can lose over $20,000 in uncredited parts, cores, and lost profits. Wicked Files' AI-powered software is a game changer. It helped one shop owner recover over $10,000 in missed credits, and others have recovered tens of thousands more. Wicked File puts cash back into your business and hours back into your day. Stop leaving money on the table. Visit wickedfile.com to learn more and get started today. For some of you guys that do not set a target or listen to that other episode and said, "Yeah, I'm just not really there," this should get you on a rough baseline of thinking about limiting factors. For some of you that already have this target and maybe came into this episode, some of this stuff might be a refresh, right? You might be thinking to yourself, "Hunt, I already know how much labor I'm going to be doing. Right? I already know what that's going to look like." No matter where you stand or where you kind of got your sales target from, you're left with a sales target. And then the first thing we want to do is we want to look and say, do we have the team in place to actually handle this stuff? These are some numbers. When I went down through this originally, this was with a client. And really, you know, to kind of get a little bit ahead of it, he had two technicians. When he was talking about this stuff, I said, "I don't think that you can do this with two technicians. Probably need a third." And then it kind of came into the labor rate. So I'm going to share this same thing with you. These labor rates are going to be different, but the idea here is still the same. You have enough people probably. Can you charge that much money? Or if you charge that much money, do you have enough people to actually achieve that? If you sit here and you're saying to yourself, "Hunt, I have a sales target on it. How do I break this down into an hours target, whatever?" Here's how you do this. I'm going to be assuming that your shop is a 50-50 mix of parts and labor like this shop was. And so here is how we went and analyzed this. We know that we need $1 million in overall sales. Most shops are around 50-50 parts and labor. This shop was kind of dead on there. And so what we did is we said, all right, if we're going to do $1 million in sales, that means that we're going to need to have $500,000, around $500,000 of labor sales. We know that labor sales are actually an output and the input is actually labor hours produced. The big variable here is how much we sell them for. So if you're looking at that and you say, "Well, how many hours do I need to sell to get 500,000? You technically could sell one. If you were able to find you someone that pays you $500,000 an hour, you only need to sell 1 hour of labor and your year is made. Realistically though, your labor rate is probably much lower than that and also is probably going to change based on what you ultimately need to do. The way that we chopped this up is kind of three different ways. When we looked at this, I think one of them was his current rate, one of them, which is like where he could have won. And then we have a last one of like kind of worst case scenario. And depending on where you stand, one of these three things is probably going to jump out and be like, that kind of sounds like my shop. The way that you can look at this is kind of two different ways. You could back into what your labor rate needs to be based on what you know your production is, or like in this situation, we back into what our production needs to be based on what our labor rate is. So in this example, we said, all right, we need $500,000 in sales. His current labor rate was around $130 an hour. So you take $500,000 in sales, you divide that by $130 an hour. And what we come out with is that we need to sell 3,846 hours at $130 in order to hit our $500,000 sales target. If you're looking at this and you have two technicians, is that possible with two technicians? Absolutely. Most people work, you know, full-time is around 2,000 hours a year. If you're looking at this and you're saying, all right, in order to hit my mark, my labor rate's 130, I need to sell 3,846 hours. You got two technicians, they're both very productive on this. You produced similar hours last year. You might be looking at this and saying, great, we're in a really, really good spot. Let's say that your labor rate was 155. At two technicians, they probably need to be almost 100% productive. And if you're thinking to yourself, Hunt, I just know my guys are not that productive, or I don't want to have a shop like that, what would my labor rate need to be if I wanted to have, you know, 75% production? We could, again, back into that again, saying, all right, what does this look like at 155? If we raise our labor rate from 130 to 155, in order to hit the same $500,000 in labor sales, we would only need 3,200 hours. What do you think is more realistic for your team? Consistently having them crank out 100% efficiency every single week, or at 75%? And I'm going to pause right there, and I want you guys to be honest with yourself, and I want you to be honest with your team. Too many times, what I see for people is their whole sales projection or their whole projection is based around their team doing significantly more work. In realistic cases, we just don't see that. If your team was 75% productive this year, the law of physics, they are going to probably do a similar thing this year. I would not factor any major improvements in productivity. Could I hope for it? Could I plan for it? Could I try and guide that? Yes. But if I'm doing my projection outside of major changes, your people are going to probably be as productive as they were last year. If you want major increases outside of coaching them up, promotions, it's probably going to need to be on the pricing side. How would we use this to kind of alarm us? Like if we looked at this at 130, we know with two people it's going to work, but also would probably say that's going to be a little bit trickier for them to hit those numbers. We probably need to be more at 155 to be able to do this consistently. What would this be saying if we did the same exercise and our labor rate was currently at $100? We would be getting alarm bells going off, and this is why I want you guys to do this for your own shop. Is if you go down through and you do this exercise and you're at $100 an hour labor rate, immediately you're going to know that you have an issue. Because in order to hit $500,000 in labor sales at $100 an hour labor, we need to sell 5,000 hours. Average person works 2,000 hours a year. If you have two people, that's only 4,000 hours. And you need to somehow find a missing 1,000 hours to sell that. You just don't have it. So if you go down through and you look at this, and you say, is my sales goal leading me to disaster? Yes. And you have two ways to fix this. If you're doing this at the beginning of the year, you're probably looking at this and saying, if I want to have a team with these two guys, then I probably can't do this at $100 an hour. I can do this, but I'm probably going to need to go to 130, 140 for this to make sense. Or you look at this and you say, my market doesn't hold 100. Maybe it'll hold 110, maybe it'll hold 120, but you're probably going to be forced to go get another person. Right. So looking at this stuff and saying, hey, where's my limiting factor on here? And the first thing we got to look at is internally. Do I have the team to handle this right now? Another thing to think about on the labor side of this is, all right, you might have two technicians and one advisor. If you need to hire another technician, does that mean that you need to hire another advisor? First things first, do we have enough people to do this? Do we have enough people in the shop? Do we have enough people on the counter to manage them, dispatch this, and sell the work? So another thing that we got to look at too is, are you going to have enough cars for this year? And if you don't have enough cars, how many cars do you need? These are all things that you need to know and also need to know to go back to your advertisers to set proper goals and proper targets. If you're looking at this from a car standpoint or repair orders or customer standpoint on it, you have to know where you stand and you have to know where you want to be. I'm going to give you two numbers that you don't currently have on this. Right now, they're currently, this shop was at $500 and our $500 ARO. I mean, they were working around 1,600 cars or 1,600 repair orders. What we're looking at here on the car side of this or invoice side of it is, all right, do we need more cars or do we have enough cars and we need to get more work on each one of these cars? And so depending on which direction you're going, you now know what your advisor goals is or you now know if you have an advertiser's goal. It's very, very simple to do this, guys, and you can kind of pick one or the other. We know our ARO right now is $500. So if you're saying to yourself, well, I don't know if I can get more cars, I'm going to try to make this on each car. How much does my ARO need to go up if I still want the same 1,600 cars? All you got to do is you know that your sales are going to be $1,000,000. You divide that by 1,600 cars, and what you come up with is a new ARO target of 625. If you want to do this the other direction and say, I think we're pretty good on the counter, but we can probably just get some more cars. So again, you do this the same exact way. We take the $1,000,000 in sales. We know that it's going to be a $500 per ticket. So how many ROs would that be? So what we find out is that in order to achieve this, we either need to get our ARO up $125, go from $500 to $625, or if we want to just do this in cars alone, we can still keep a $500 ARO and we need to go up to 2,000 cars. Now, depending on your business, one or the other might be the low-hanging fruit, right? If I'm looking at this, what is this setting me up for? This is to show what my limiting factors are. So if I'm looking at this and I need to go from $500 to $625, is that a realistic growth on just my ARO side? Yeah, that's a very solid growth. That's what, 25%? So that's a pretty solid lift on ARO, but not unreasonable whatsoever. What happens if this exercise said you need to go from $500 ARO to $1,700? Do you think that you might hit a limiting factor on that? Yes. And what would that be telling me? Would that be telling me that my goal is unrealistic? Maybe. If you need that much of an ARO lift, then your goal might be unrealistic or might need to be split into multiple years. But also what that tells me is I'm probably not going to be able to fix this with just ARO alone. This example we talked about, you can increase your ARO 125 in a year and you can increase your car count 400, right? If you're at 1600 to go to 2000, not crazy. To go from 500 to 625, not crazy at all. If you don't know how that you achieve that, you're never, ever going to ultimately get there. And again, you need to start measuring this stuff and looking at what this actually looks like. If you don't know what that target is for ARO, if you don't know what that target is for cars, then the shock at the end of the month that you're off target for your goals is going to come to you as a surprise. But if you know what you need in cars, if you know what you need in ARO or ARO lift, you should have a very, very good idea as the day goes by or weeks go by if you're ahead or behind. Now, if I go to my service advisors and they say, boss, what do you want me to do this year? I want you to do the exact same thing that you did last year with all of our customers. We just need more in the ARO. How much more is that hours per ticket? How much is that dollars per ticket, et cetera, et cetera. Now on the car side of it, counter probably has nothing to do with this. This is probably your GM or your own job. You now can go to your advertising company and say what you need. Hey guys, we had 1600 cars last year. What do you want to do this year? I know how you guys talk to them. You say, I need more, right? I need more cars. I need more cars. They love to hear this. So just giving the feedback on the advertisers, we need more, we need less, we need this kind, we need that kind. This is what they want to hear, what they should want to hear from you to make sure that you're getting good value. But what they really want to hear from you is saying, I need 35 cars a month, like they do in this situation. Give them a specific goal, give them specific kind of benchmarks to meet on there. And if they understand your goal, they should be able to meet it. And if they can meet that and you've calculated this correctly, then you should ultimately be able to hit your target as well. But again, if you don't do this, you might realize what I need for ARO is not possible. That's my limiting factor. Or what I need for cars, additional cars, is my limiting factor as well. Not all of this is meant to say this is going to be possible or not possible, but probably on a scale of easiness. Hey, is it easier for me to get more ARO or more cars? I'm going to do whichever one's easier. At the end of the day, it's cars times ARO. So if you increase one, it's still going to have the same effect on this. And whatever is going to make me more money by doing less work is what we're going to do here. The last thing on here is obviously you can be limited by people. Obviously you can be limited by cars. But what happens if you hit a breakpoint? One of the things that I want you guys to be aware of is there is a certain point in your business where you're going to be the most profitable. And then you're going to hit what we call a break point where you no longer become more profitable as you get bigger. Most businesses look like this, right? And again, if you're listening on the audio, I'm kind of looking at something that looks like stairs. When you first start working, it's just you. Any money that goes into your pocket is going to increase your net income. No overhead, no other employees on it. It's all going to you. So profit goes up very quickly. But then stuff gets legitimate and maybe you need to go out and hire someone on the counter. They don't necessarily make you any more money, but they allow you to grow. But we have kind of a flat line in profit. You had to do that. It's a natural progression. But what ends up happening is your business right now hits this at different levels. If you have one advisor right now and you have three technicians, is it going to be possible to add that fourth technician? Is it going to be possible to add that fourth technician without adding someone else on the counter? And so what you're looking at is for these breakpoints to say, am I doing this for more work or more profit? Like I mentioned before, if you were looking at this completely short-sighted, you would have never hired that person from the counter because it made you less money. But what I want you to be aware of is if you're going from three technicians with one advisor, that's a 3-to-1 ratio. If you go to 4-to-2, that's now to a 2-to-1 ratio. Do you think you're going to be more or less profitable? Probably less. Doesn't mean it's a bad idea, but probably means that we want to maximize that other advisor and ultimately get more technicians. If you can't maximize your people, if you can't leverage them the same that you have in the past, what you might end up with is some of my clients have is a business that has grown for 3 years consistently and not made any more money. Right, guys? We don't want to do this for vanity. We don't want to do this for ego. We don't want to do this for sales. If the goals and the projections aren't going to make us more money, then that's just more work for more problems. We're looking for more work for more profit, or really just no more work and more profit. The last thing on here that could be a limiting factor for this is you probably would have to do this entire exercise. Talk about people, talk about technicians, talk about dispatching, talk about advisors, talk about ARO, talk about parking. And what you might ultimately be left at is, I don't have enough square footage for this. And maybe you need an extra 40 cars a month, but you already don't have enough parking. Do I need to go rent outside parking? Do I need to go buy a whole nother building? People generally get to a point where you realize, in order for me to grow and hit my goal, I'm going to need to go get another building or get a different building. And again, it could make sense on this. Is it going to make you more money or is it going to make you have a bigger business? That is the big thing I want you to look at and make sure that you guys are growing smart, not hard. So now that you go and you combine all of this together, what you might end up figuring out is that this is the same target that you came in with, but hopefully it's one that has a little bit more meaning behind it and not just an artificial number that you came up with. Remember, at the end of the day, who cares what you sell? We care about what you keep. As always, please share with friends. If you have any comments, questions, or ideas for a future episode, shoot me an email at podcast@parmalis.com. Just want to say thanks again for listening on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. Don't forget to check out the rest of the shows on the new Automotive Repair Podcast Network app or on the rest of your favorite podcast listing apps. Thanks again for joining me on Business by the Numbers. Stay safe out there, and I will talk to you all next week.
You've been listening to Business by the Numbers with Hunt Demarest on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. Download our exclusive podcast app at automotiverepairpodcastnetwork.com because the best conversations in the industry start here. Have a question for Hunt? Check the show notes for Hunt's email or text Parmelis at 301-307-5413.